Hi, everybody. Siobhan Sarna here with our favorite gut health expert engineer, Steve Wright. If you don't know me, I'm the founder of SIBO SOS and the Facebook group, SIBO SOS Community, and the author of the book Healing SIBO, and the producer of over 10 summits, including the 10-hour docuseries Digestion SOS, Rescue and Relief for IBS, SIBO, and Leaky Gut. It looks fine on paper. It's tough to say. Anyway, Steve Wright is by training an engineer. He has done more for getting people information for free on the internet that is accurate than most people in this space. He was one of the originators of online health information. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. He's very young, but very smart, and was doing it like if you ever go to the site and you see pictures of him from back in the day, he's like this. He's very young. Anyway, what we're going to do today is talk about elimination diets, when less isn't more, how to actually eat and enjoy your food, and some baseline things that I think a lot of people overlook because they think they're too simple. And like, oh, my case is so much more complicated, which I truly appreciate. And yet, if you add certain things, it can really be a game changer. I speak from my own personal experience. And obviously, this isn't medical advice and everyone's different. Disclaimers are now over. Hello, Steve Wright. Hi.
Hey, Siobhan, thanks for having me back. And yeah,
You're a
this is going
regular
on
man.
year 13, I think, of being online and officially talking about gut health. So
That's
it's
like dog years, seriously.
especially the last two.
Yeah. Yeah. All
But
right.
you're
Well,
also going to share a little bit more today too, right? This is going to be
I
a little bit
am.
more interactive than normal. We're going to try to pull back the curtains even more.
Yes, because Steve is talking about how I promised to share some of my solutions to my struggle of compliance, which is that I have pill fatigue and I tend to be a little bit cynical, and I tend to just be like, eh, it'll be fine. Oh, wait,
Just a wee bit.
what? What can I say? Anyway, it actually makes for being a good television host to have that little bit double check. Wait a minute, really? So it served me well, but it's also been a hindrance for me in a lot of ways too, where I wish I had done certain things sooner, and just have a big old bruise on my butt from kicking myself. So let's get to it.
Well, let's balance each other out. I'm the
Okay.
eternal optimist, trying everything, and I pay my own prices as well. So, yeah, let's talk to everybody today.
Let's do it. I am also very optimistic, actually, and I believe in the body. I believe in the body's ability to heal itself, but I also know that sometimes it needs interventions and it needs help. And that small intestine bacterial overgrowth, intestinal methanogen overgrowth, and IBS don't usually go away on their own, even though you want it to, and you think, how could this last? And there are reasons why people have digestive ailments. And the thing is, it's kind of like being hungry. Speaking of food, is that like after you've had a full meal, you can't imagine ever being hungry again, right? And yet every night we go, what are you having for dinner tonight? Like, oh, I don't know. What do you want for dinner? As if we weren't expecting it. But it's these cycles, right? And they catch up with us, and we can feel well and think we're never going to not feel well again. And then there it is. And it's very intimate, it's very frustrating. And it can cause a lot of fear and it can cause a lot of anxiety. And let's get to some solutions. So, Steve, you've created some digestive enzymes and some other few products that you didn't see on the market and you wanted to make for yourself. Actually, didn't want to make, but through necessity, because I know he didn't want to make supplements. That was not his goal. But through necessity, you did create it. A line, and I'm really glad that you did, and also a great community yourself with the supporting people. When it comes to elimination diets, just what's your, because your whole thing was, your whole platform back in the day was based on SCD lifestyle, right? The specific carbohydrate diet based on Elaine Gottschalk's work. And go ahead and take it from there if you would.
Yeah,
Gottschalk.
well, I think I think the place where I'm at today is that at least 80%, maybe 90% of people are gonna have the exact same experience with food sensitivities and food reactions that you just said with SIBO. If you're already at that place, your body is gonna need interventions. Just eliminating them and sort of, you know, doing mantras and all that stuff, all the healing work, it's all really good stuff. But in general, I do not see them resolving. And I, like I said, I've been working on this stuff for 13 years in my own body, as well as with, you know, thousands of people, millions of people on the internet, touches points, over 300 to 400 people individually. And the majority of people who have food sensitivities and are hoping that they will heal naturally through food only, it's mostly a myth, I think, at this point. And I think that's frustrating, especially because when going on the elimination diet, you typically feel better. And typically the elimination diet is also one of the best first steps. And so it's very confusing, right? That something can give you relief, can give you steps in the right direction, only to come back and harm you or not be the only answer for you. And so I think that's, and this is coming from a guy who really thought that food could do it all and was hyper-focused on every little molecule in the food, because SCD is a diet that comes from the 1920s. And it was popularized by Elaine Goshall's book, which has reached millions of people. It's helped millions of people. But what I realized is that in the 2000s, we had the technology to understand food and food, like the molecules of food better. And what I realized is Elaine's book is riddled with holes. The diet does not follow what it says in the diet rules is not the diet rules. Like, it's not true. Because now we have new technology that they didn't have in the 80s, they didn't have in the 50s, they didn't have in the 20s. And so now when you say there's zero polysaccharides, every fruit and vegetable has polysaccharides. You can't say that to be true anymore. So it led me down this pathway of being an engineer and starting very science-oriented, very black and white-oriented. That's how I was raised. It's the type of religion I was raised in. That was the school system I was brought up in. I was just like, how can this diet work but not be truthful and accurate scientifically? And then after I tried to apply it to myself, why didn't I get better? Why didn't Jordan get better? Why didn't all the people following us get better? And the answer was because we needed more intervention to get the body going again and really, you know, heal up the damage that had been done. Because I think it's possible that by the time you're noticing food sensitivities, you're much more damaged in a way, or much more broken down in a way than you might believe you are. And that's not to scare anybody. I'm not saying like you're going to die anytime soon, but I'm just saying that you might already be past the point of just meditating, mantras, and food elimination will get you the ideal health you want.
I'm really glad you're saying all of that, because especially if someone's been on this journey for a really long time, or you're just going to be beginning, right? Like, I had a girlfriend who had this type of symptoms, and she wrote me, I think I told you this, and she was like, I just had a gut zoomer, Siobhan, and it turns out I'm allergic to, you know, eggs and milk, and so I eliminated them out of my diet, and oh my gosh, my belly's flat, I feel amazing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic, I'm so happy for you. I've done the gut zoomer like years ago, and then fill in the blank for 10 other tests, and like, that's the miracle right there. One test, some digestive enzymes, and boom, chugga-lugga, she is back to like she was when she was 20. And that's amazing. That is not the typical situation.
That's like the Instagram version of life, right? Okay? Exactly. Like, for most people, that's the idealized, you know, 5% or 10% of dietary interventions. I don't care if it's vegan, carnivore, SCD, GAPS, FODMAPs, 5 to 10% of people have that experience. And I'm envious of them, frankly. Oh, I'm really happy when I hear the story, but I am envious because I was never like that.
So, right. Me too. Otherwise I wouldn't be here right now, because I would, you know, it would have totally been involved. Like, I mean, seriously, but then I had the mold and I have all these other things on top. So I'm doing fantastic, by the way. I mean, I'm like, I don't want to jinx it, but I would say that if I never got my situation resolved any more than I am at right now, it would be totally fine, because I'm doing great. But remember that a chronic condition not managed can make you feel 100% worse than a managed chronic condition. So my company is actually called Chronic Condition Rescue, because I had so much stuff wrong with me, from mold for 20 years, alopecia, my hair was falling out, psoriasis, blah, 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 I'm over it. And So just remember, a message of hope is also that if you can manage these situations, you can feel, in so many cases, so much better. So, and it takes persistence and it takes time and it takes energy and it's not free. A lot of it is, but a lot of it isn't. So we're with you 100%. So Steve, what are some things that we can do to just get started? And
yeah, so
think about this. Are you doing this?
Yeah. So step one, in my opinion, still is to this day and should always be, get the person out of pain, get yourself out of pain, and do almost anything, but try to choose interventions that also, with long-term consequences, actually help you heal potential underlying conditions. Because there's a range of options, right? You could just stop eating, like, right? You could just fast forever, but that's not long-term. You know, you can only do that for, 5 to 10 days, maybe. You could, there's nothing wrong with going on an elemental diet, but you can't stand an elemental diet forever. And right. So there's certain interventions that have long-term consequences, or don't support long-term consequences, which is why I'm like, for instance, I don't encourage the use of going right to laxatives or right to stool softeners. I'm like, hey, work your way there and use those if you fail the other method. So food still is the number one variable other than water and air every single day that you're putting in your body that could cause you pain or could cause you, pleasure and health. And so I am still a huge proponent of eating a real food diet that's unprocessed as possible. And if you want to call that paleo, great. If you want to call that FODMAP, low FODMAP, great. If it's SCD or GAPS, I'm way past the point of naming this stuff, even though a lot of people need names and they're starting to learn foods and starting to learn this stuff. The best thing to really track is the different types of foods, like the different sources. So, group nuts together, group starches together, group meat together, group vegetables and fruits together, and then pay attention to berries versus stone fruits and different, cruciferous vegetables versus, lettuce. Oxalates.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Right.
All the leafy greens, mm-hmm. because these things tell you things as you eliminate, as you go on a whole food diet, as you eliminate these things, you'll find out that some individuals cannot tolerate nuts. I don't care how much people say that walnuts do this or almonds do that, or macadamia nuts and should be all you need. There's a lot of people that just don't process nuts. The same thing is true with cruciferous vegetables. Some people just cannot do, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, broccoli. There's a whole lot of people that kale, everybody wanted to like put kale in your ears for a while there, heal everything. And like, turns out kale is really hard to process raw and can add up to a lot of oxalates in the long term. So take stock, because your body's sending you signals. So step one would be to eliminate the foods down. And if you're totally in pain right now, if you're like, I came here because I need to figure this first step out, I would say go down to cooked fruits, cooked vegetables, and cooked meat. Like that, just start there. And you're going to say, well, it doesn't taste good and it's a big change. Yeah, well, if you want out of pain, do it. If you don't want out of pain, I don't know what to tell you. Because some people like myself, like hundreds of thousands of people that have followed me, that's where we go back to. And then in 1 month though, and this is the key, in 1 month, we're going to get you back to a much bigger diet.
Right.
But a lot of people never get rid of the raw stuff. A lot of people never get rid of eggs or nuts. And these foods are, potentially very reactionary to a lot of individuals who don't have enzymes, who don't have HCL, whose gut is totally inflamed. And, we can go into all the scientific mechanisms, but I know a lot of people here are just here to get out of pain and then start healing. And so I want to focus on the steps, and then we can go deeper into the science.
Well, the thing is that the first thing to do for me is what you just said, and that's in my book too. And that is just like, think of yourself as a baby and feed yourself baby food. So get that freaking Vitamix out, or the Nutribullet, or the cheap, blender that you paid $19 for and actually is as good as, a lot of these very expensive ones now. And a lot of those barriers to good blenders are now gone. So get out that blender, make yourself some, carrots and whatever. And remember that you need to find your portions, and that this is where portions really come into play. And it's a very FOD, low FODMAP thing. It's I could eat carrots, and what happened was I ate a whole like bunch of them when I really should have only had like three or four. So did I feel well? Of course not, because I ate way too many, but I was hungry and I was like, oh, I can eat carrots. That's awesome. And, you know, then went crazy. And then when I did a food sensitivity test, what came up? It was carrots. Yeah. Because I ate too many of them. So, you know, find the things that work for you. It's slow and steady. Don't let yourself get too hungry, because then it's like all bets are off. Hi, Domino's. Oh, you know, my voice, just come on over. Right? It's just, you know, seriously. So you want to make sure you don't get too hungry. Make sure you're taking your food with you.
And if at all possibility, here's the one thing that I've seen work is do what Siobhan just said around like care around yourself and what's happening with a different mindset, which is this is not because you're broken. This is not because you're in pain. This is because you're just hyper curious about food and your body. And there's probably recipes you've never even made with cooked cucumbers or cooked apple or cooked carrots that you didn't even know were possible. But if you take cooked carrots and you add a little cinnamon and a little bit of honey, you can make some pretty magical dishes. And all three of those foods are super safe for the majority of folks. So if you can use this as an opportunity to just learn about food and learn about your body on top of what Siobhan said, which is don't let yourself get too monotonous, don't let yourself get too hungry. This can be a new exploration of flavors and cooking procedures and things like this. It doesn't have to just be about pain management.
You have to have beginner's mind, right? And so it's easy to say, but like really, like it's like saying, oh, I exercise and you should exercise. Okay, yeah, but did you today? Like, do you have beginner's mind? David C., are the Zoomertails still good to use? Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm absolutely a fan. Yeah. Don't misunderstand what I was saying, but yeah, they can be super helpful. Okay. We do have some questions, but go ahead, Steve. And then I've got a couple of questions and comments.
Yeah. I see the questions pouring in. So let's hop on those in a second, but here's the key. I don't care. I have no tolerance personally for much pain. And I think that serves me really well. And it's caused me a lot of extra pain. But what I've learned is that there are hundreds of schools of thought out there that your body needs a ton of time to remodel or repair or stop feeling bad. And I've tried maybe 1,000, probably not 1,000, maybe a couple hundred different, maybe 300-400 different types of healing techniques. And the one that's right for you right now, you see benefit in like 2 weeks max. Like this, if you go low FODMAP and you're not better, and like, you're not feeling better. And by the end of week one and not feeling a little better by the end of week two, you're missing the enzymes, you're missing the HCL. It's not the right diet for you. I don't care if it's the low fermentation diet. I don't care what, I don't care the name. I don't care the optionality that you're choosing. In 2 weeks, if you're not seeing 50% reductions in whatever you're fighting, you're missing something very important to that protocol. And it's not always food.
Right. So it could be digestive enzymes. So Steve has created his own line of digestive enzymes and other things that we'll briefly talk about. But this is food like 101 for anyone. And as we age, you're losing digestive enzymes. That's just all there is to it. And HCL, hydrochloric acid for your stomach and for processing this food. So my compliance issue is that a lot of times if the enzyme is located over there and I'm eating over here, I'm just like, oh, I'll get them later, or I just don't do it, or I get distracted, blah, blah, blah. So what I have done is my little compliance tip is that I have these little sake cups they're just these cute little things. I got them at like Pier One a million years ago. I'm going to actually grab one, and I have them pretty much everywhere. I have them. Did you see my pajama pants? Sorry.
I didn't see anything. Well, hey, Anne-Marie, I'm just saying hello to some people. Hey, David, thanks for following me for all these years. Yes, Leslie, I agree with you. We'll keep going deeper into adding in as well as taking out. So let's see those.
So these are just like little containers. Then I just collect little containers and I put my enzymes for the day in there. And by the end of the day, like I'm hoping that they're all gone. Okay. So out of sight, out of mind for me. I do have a bottle of My Whole Zymes by my bed. I have one on the dining room table. I have one on the kitchen counter. This is what works for me. That doesn't mean that it's going to work for everybody. I'm just giving you my tips. Then in my purse, Steve, hold on for big ass purse reveal. I have this crazy container and it says purse. Okay. And I went through so many different trials of different vitamin holders. And this is, I have a label maker too. I love my label maker. So some of them I don't have label because I just know what they are. Like they're my whole zymes. So there's a stash of Rifaximin in case I feel like I just got food poisoned. And I just carry it with me all the time because a lot of times I'm rushing out of the house and I think, oh, did I take that? Oh, but I'm late. Okay. And I just go and I'm like, no, I have it with me, right? If I forgot it, or I forgot I did one, I didn't do the other, I just grab it and I do it at the red light or whatever. Please be safe. So anyway, that's some of my tricks. This is location, location, location. Which seems like really common sense, but until I started doing it, it wasn't as good. Now it's much, much better. There you go.
Yeah, and other people, just because it's not top of mind, other things that I've heard really help people try to figure these new habits out, because they really are new habits,
Right.
is some people will wear like either a rubber band or some sort of specific like bracelet or something, and you can switch arms every time you do the habit. So like you can, yeah, you could
Right.
take your beads and put them on the other wrist after you take your pills. And that's just a psychological sort of trick to kind of start building habits. And it's really funny, but it's super cute and it works effective. It's so effective. You can literally get a piece of paper, put on your wall, buy a dollar pack of the gold stickers that you give to
Yeah.
first graders
Yeah.
and give yourself a gold star
Telling
whenever
you.
you take the things on the wall. And you'd be surprised at how rewarding that is. It shouldn't be rewarding as an adult, but it
Nuts. It's
is.
nuts. And there are even apps for that, I know, but I had this exercise routine that I wanted to do. And here's my big old calendar. And I'm gonna start doing that, Steve, again. And I literally would only highlight the day if I did those exercises. And there was no way after like the second week that I was going to go another day without like So I'm with you. That manual way really does work for me, especially if you're visual. There are apps. I think one of them is called Streak, like you're on a winning streak. And by the way, if you're trying to do things 3 times a day, you have three bracelets on one wrist. You move at the end of the day, you have three on the other. And I like to do things at 8, 2, and 8 that like if you're doing three things a day, what am I going to do? 8, 2, and 8 works for me. And then you can also do reminders on your phone.
I like it.
Okay. All right. Let's get a couple of questions in here.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, Steve has given us a really special discount of the $15 if you off if you want some of his phenomenal enzymes, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And of course, Tributarin X, which helps with leaky gut, oversimplifying it. HCL Guard, which makes a huge difference with digesting your food, especially if you're low in it. And then his new magnesium, which next month we're going to talk about the magnesium again because we had so many questions. And Steve was surprised, I was not, about the response to the magnesium. Dale, I've been taking your Holozyme digestive enzymes 2 per meal for a while, but felt that that might be too powerful as I was having diarrhea each morning. So I cut back to 1 per meal. Although the diarrhea has stopped, I'm not having fully formed normal size stools. Any advice? This is how over how much time, Dale? And what do you say to somebody like that in their situation, Steve?
Well, this is a perfect example of who's somebody who's courageous, who's testing stuff on themselves, and that's amazing. And so the next evolution of learning your own body and being your own health CEO and trying to figure this stuff out is to go probably up to three. So actually go reverse. So you went down one and you felt better, but not quite there yet. So now the question is three better than one? So I would actually go to three per meal for 3 or 4 days, see what happens. Do the stools form up or does the diarrhea come back? If the diarrhea comes back, then it's definitely one per meal. And now we've sort of eliminated enzymes as your limiting factor. Like at this point, we know that one is helping, More is not. So enzymes with one is great for your diet, for your health right now. And you got to go check off another box. So in this case, I would pretty much assume that it's an HCL issue. It's like a stomach acid issue. And so I would test a hydrochloric acid test, an HCL challenge test, and eliminate that variable. If we eliminate that, those don't help. They cause burning or something. Then I would go below the small intestine, right? And I would go down to something like tributarin X and see if it's a microbiome colon type issue. So I don't know if people can follow that logic, but it's actually really important logic for learning how to work with your body and work with a product, no matter which product it is. It doesn't have to be a healthy gut product. It could be a Megaspore. It could be anything. But if you take a dose that is standard and it doesn't really work, you go down, it kind of helps. If you never try up, and like, look, hey, if it's like causing massive pain, don't do that. But like, if it's just generally you're curious and you're trying to figure this out, you always have to try it up as well, because sometimes it's just not quite enough benefit from that product. And that causes additional upset to your system, which is counterintuitive. But if you go up twice and you're like, hey, it's not for me, great. Keep that in your protocol and keep searching, because there's going to be another limiting factor at that point.
And yes, well, we always send out the replay. And if you're in the Facebook group, you can always find it in the media section. Also, when we send you out the replay, we send you a page, to a place to go, I should say, where all of Steve's conversations with me are located. So you go back through time and, you know, see a lot of great free information. From Kim, I heard from a well-known practitioner that if one has adrenal and gut issues, they should work on the adrenals for a couple of months before working on the gut issues to increase success in both areas. Do you agree with this thought?
Partially. So not for a couple of months, because I'm not cool with being in like pain for a couple of months. And also working on the gut, I don't actually believe that working on the gut is like enzymes, HCL, tributarin X. These types of things are just getting the gut to function on a daily basis. Could be magnesium, could be stool softeners, could be fiber. If that's what you need to have a good Bristol number four and no bloating on a daily basis, then that's not working on your gut. That's just being a human. If you're going beyond that to treat a parasite or SIBO or something, this is where I think if you can layer in hormone support, as well as check and see if there's any detoxification support that's needed. If you layer those two in for two weeks, and then you start your killing program, you've now had 4 to 6 weeks of hormone and detoxification support, such that your body is going to be more receptive to the killing phase at the end of it. Because at the end of it, remember where it's like, I mean, sometimes these analogies aren't the best, but it's pretty close. We went in and destroyed Iraq. We went in and destroyed Afghanistan. We left, and what happened?
Chaos.
Because the underlying structure and the underlying support was not there for a new society to form with, I think, the hopes of a lot of people. The same thing can be true coming off a rifaximin program, coming off an herbal killing program. I don't care what the program is. Your body is supposed to be able to step in at the end of that 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks and take over. But if it's not, if it's still on the sideline or only at 50% capacity, that's when these recurrent battles keep coming over and over and over again over the next couple of years, because it's just, you're just not capable of standing on your own, you know, two immune feet or something. I don't know, the analogy's breaking down, but
let's stay away from the war analogies and let's stay away from that one. We'll figure it out though. Y'all know what we're talking about. Okay. I recently had a nutritionist state that I may have fructose intolerance due to an abdominal pain. I had food sensitivity test a month ago showing no sensitivities at all. I eat low FODMAP fruits daily with each meal. My question is, based on the food sensitivity test, would I still have a fructose intolerance or malabsorption?
So there's a better test that you could do at the comfort of your own home. It may cost you $30 or $50. I'm not sure. Fructose intolerance is an enzyme issue. So we're talking about fructose, not fructan, which is different, but fructose intolerance. There's a enzyme called xylem. Let me try to pronounce it. I looked it up here real quick. Xylose isomerase. So X Y L O S E, ISO, ISO, M E R A S E. You can get this for like $30 to $50. And this is the enzyme that's missing if you have fructose intolerance. And fructose intolerance or fructose malabsorption is like 3 to 5% potentially of people. And of course, it's on a spectrum. So some people have like zero of this enzyme. Some people have like 75%. And so if you have too much fructose, it can cause an issue. But you could just buy this and take one at a meal. Does it do anything? Take two at a meal. Does it do anything? Take three at a meal. Does it do anything? That's probably going to be a better diagnostic check for specifically fructose malabsorption.
Very cool. Okay. There are also fructose breath tests you can take as well, depending. I would do what David, that's my husband's name. Sorry, Steve.
You're good.
Steve was just saying, I hardly ever do that. And then, you know, see how you do, and then maybe explore a fructose breath test. And also the Food Marble, that new personal breath device, they do have a test for personal food sensitivities that you can, and they have fructose as one of the substrates. So some options for you. I've heard varying ranges of how long it takes for food reactions to show up in the body and the brain. 1 day, 3 days, 4 days, a week, longer. What's the best estimate of this?
So the reason why this is super convoluted, and there'll probably never be an easy or simple answer, and why it always is, it depends. It's because it depends on what lens you're looking for the reaction from. Are you assuming that it's an IgG reaction or an IgM or an IgA? So it's like an antibody reaction that you can measure. If so, those can develop up to 72 hours. So that's why the 3 day rule is the 72 hour rule is kind of, I think, one of the most, it's the most practical that also matches up with the science. Could it take longer? Sure. But most of us can't remember 3 days ago. So right. For practicality speaking for humans, 72 hours is kind of like, I think, the best thing. And there's data showing that those IgG reactions can show up a little bit later, but you could spin the lens and you could say, well, is it a histamine reaction? Well, those typically show up, you know, between like 0 and 8 hours or so. You know, there's other types of reactions to food, not just a specific branch of the immune system. And so that's why every person you talk to will, depending on the lens they're analyzing this question through, will probably have a different answer. But in my looking through all the lenses, 3 days, if you test a food and go back to eating your normal diet. So if you eat 10 foods and you try, say, rice, white rice as your 11th food, I would keep eating it for a little bit for 3 days. And if the symptom, if the brain fog continues, then it's probably, you stop it, it's probably the white rice, if that makes sense.
Somebody is asking how long the coupon is good for. So it's for, the coupon expires the night of the 11th. Today's the 8th, the night of the 11th going into the 12th. I'm quite sure that's correct. So take advantage of that. And can you use it again and again, or is it a one time only? Within that time frame, you can use it again and again. Like, you can load up that shopping cart, or you can be like, oh, you know what, I wanted to go back and get this. You can still use it. And it's calculated for you automatically at checkout. So it's not like you need to use code Siobhan or anything. It's automatic. You just have to use our links. Okay. And thank you for that. What causes us to become absent of certain enzymes to begin with, Steve?
I mean, a lot of things. I think, look, micronutrients. Have you had your serum nutrients and your cellular nutrients tested? Without those two tests, you can't really tell, you know, are you micronutrient deficient? But you need a lot of nutrients to build HDL and enzymes. So micronutrient deficiency. Number two is central nervous system issues. So are you parasympathetic or sympathetic dominant? Do you have the capacity to go between both of them? Most of us in today's phone addicted worlds and Western media and all the intensity of the world these days, we are sympathetic dominant, which drives down the capacity to create these things. And then how old and what's your sort of bodily damage meter? You know, almost like a video game, like how much damage have you sustained throughout your life? If that is high, plus your age is getting, you know, past 30, then unfortunately, pretty much our sex organs start declining, our skin starts sagging, our, you know, eyesight goes away. Like, I don't understand why people can't comprehend this idea that your digestion is also declining. It's unfortunate. I'm fighting it tooth and nail, and I hope you'll fight with me.
Yes.
but there is a factor of aging that is also multiplied with your genetics, your epigenetics, and the amount of damage you sustained.
Alicia, I'm wondering if you believe that SIBO can be caused by something outside the digestive tract, like nervous system dysfunction, for example. I'll just address that. I feel like it's a contributing factor. I don't feel like it's a cause. And now we're slicing words, and like, so it's definitely going to impact you. That's what I have to say about that. I mean, what you were just saying. It's really the migrating motor complex being impacted, and that is impacted by the vagus nerve, but it's also impacted by adhesions and, adhesions and endometriosis and food poisoning antibodies and on and on and on. So do I think that if you get your central nervous system back on track, your SIBO will go away? I think it might be possible, but that wouldn't be like my first thing I would do. Although, could you harm yourself by getting your central nervous system back on track? Heck no, please do it. Right? Like all up. That's all upside. Does MCAS impact of any of what's being discussed here today? Hey, David.
I didn't hear it. What was it?
Does MCAS impact any of what's being discussed here today? I think it's more like everything we're discussing impacts mast cell activation, right? So.
Oh, MCAS. I'm sorry.
MCAS. Sorry.
I mean, of course it does. If you have MCAS, you're overproducing histamine, which is typically going to lead to, you're going to have stomach acid, probably regulation issues. Histamine is actually an important signaling molecule for making stomach acid. So a lot of people who have MCAS have low enzymes, low HDL production. And then it makes it very difficult for you to think like, shoot, am I having a histamine reaction? Or is my gut immune system having like a fight over the molecule? Or is the molecule the wrong size? And so there should be a fight. So therefore I got to go back to the enzymes and the HDL. It's a very convoluted question. Or it's a very convoluted way to understand it because there's so many factors, but of course it's a contributing factor, just like the central nervous system. If you're sympathetic all the time, you're not going to make as much HDL. If you don't make enough HDL, you increase the likelihood of SIBO. So, and you increase the likelihood of less migrating motor complex waves. So is it a fix for it? Not by itself, but it's definitely very important.
So it's just like sleep, right? That's not going to give you perfect health, but without it, it's not going to be right. So Wendy is saying, do you agree that intermittent fasting goes a long way towards giving your gut a pause to heal and repair? The reason why this is so important is exactly what we're just talking about. It does give it a pause to heal and repair, and it allows your migrating motor complex, the small intestine's cleansing wave, to work. So it only works when your body has not consumed calories for 4 to 5 hours. So if you don't sweep out the debris of old food and bacteria in your small intestine consistently, it can lead to overgrowth, which can lead to small intestine bacterial overgrowth, thus the name, and intestinal methanogen overgrowth. So that's one of the things I've observed, is that people are like, oh my gosh, intermittent fasting, that's so amazing. And yes, it is. We call it meal spacing more. So it's like a 4 to 5 hours minimum, because this is a very big change and can't be accepted by everybody and done by everybody. If you can go longer, great, because the waves need to happen. But there's so many health benefits from at least doing 4 to 5 hours. Steve?
Well, I'm kind of a contrarian on this, actually. You're going to get, and you should get it every night when you sleep, unless you're a sleepwalker and eating out of the fridge. So you're getting one long fast every day. What Siobhan just said, I believe in more, which is you should try to space your meals out. So if you wake up and eat at 8 a.m., eat some eggs and sauerkraut or something, try to go 4 to 5 hours till noon or 1 o'clock before you eat again. And the same thing is true from noon to 5, 6 o'clock. That is, I think, actually better for most individuals. Intermittent fasting, if you feel great on it, keep doing it, but watch it. It's just like carnivore, keto, vegan, all these things. At some point that benefit curve is going to fall down, and you're going to actually need to add meals back in. And so I think that's the biggest thing is that people grab onto it like it's some sort of like, I don't know, heal all to everything. And at the beginning it helped, but now it's causing dysregulated blood sugar. It's causing extra, you know, extra issues. So especially with unfortunately, women are more susceptible to this than men. And so
there you go.
Just test your assumptions is all I'm saying. And keep the meals spaced apart.
Okay. Every food I eat triggers my eczema, which is on different parts of my body. My nose is running, fluid exiting from my ears every day, and my eyes swelling to the point of eyelid shut multiple times a week after different meals. Wow. I'm so sorry. What can I do aside digestive enzymes? I'm losing a lot of weight because of the pain and fear around eating. You need intervention.
Yeah. You probably need a round of corticosteroids. I would check with your doctor. You know, you can get low dose replacement cortisol. There's a book called Safe Uses of Cortisol. You might want to pick that book up, read it, talk to your doctor about it. That might be an option. But it sounds like if you're experiencing all those symptoms to every food in the world every day, sure, enzymes and food elimination is going to help. Maybe Holoimmune will help. Maybe Tribunonex, but they're not going to, you have to get out of a constant state of decline. You got to get something back. And so this is where actually I'm a big fan of low dose use of cortisol replacement in order to stabilize someone and then build off of that platform.
Because you were describing histamine reactions. So that is not something to mess around with. That is what we were talking about with the MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome. So you need to get a hold of somebody to help you because that's not right what you're going through. I'm so sorry that you're going through that.
This is where doctors going to see your doctor, getting a physical exam, not just a telehealth exam, is very important. Getting a blood pressure reading, getting a heartbeat reading, like getting some vitals on yourself, get a second pair of eyes on yourself, because when these things build up, you are not the best. You don't have an objective viewpoint.
And, you know, if you do a lot of health research online and if you're, smart about yourself, right? You're here, you're doing your research and stuff, and you're getting all this information. It's really easy to go, I know more than my doctor does. Seriously. And of course, that may be true in certain cases. You are a specialist in you, but you need another set of eyes. And when, speaking of cynical, Steve, whenever I have resisted going to a doctor, typically, I have always been like, huh, why didn't I go sooner? Now, I work that doctor's appointment like it's a second job. Don't get me wrong. Like, I have a list of questions. I am making sure they are not rushing. And, you know, I am an assertive, happy, appreciative patient. I do not doctor bash. That is not my vibe at all. I am very much in favor of having highly skilled practitioners from all areas help me and our communities. So, and if you're like, I don't even know who to go to. Okay, well, that's where, you know, asking your friends, reaching out and talking to the receptionist or the nurse who answers the phone or the whoever, you know, have they ever done anything with histamines? Do they know what MCAS is? Do they do SIBO breath? Whatever, you know, keep looking. The other thing is every no can lead to a yes. Oh, well, that guy didn't know what he was doing. That was for damn sure. Yeah, but you know what? The next guy did. And I would never have gone to that next guy if I hadn't gone to the first guy. So,
and I would say the same thing about tests. Every test is a valid data point,
right?
And it helps rule things out. So there's a whole host of people that are in the integrative and alternative wellness communities who have never done basic testing with Western physicians who will never get better using elimination diets and supplements because they have a double loop syndrome, or they have some other weird deformity inside their body, or something's going on somewhere else in the body that is like, it's just like glaringly obvious to physicians who can see in you and put your hands on you. But if you're just trying to optimize on your own and you've been doing this for 5, 10 years and you've never gotten the basics, I'm just saying, get the basics. You know, if you've been going to the doctors the whole time, then seek somewhere else. But even the peace of mind to know that, hey, my blood pressure's fine. My brain's not crazy. My eyes aren't crazy. Like,
right.
That's peace of mind to be like, okay, I can go farther. I can handle this.
Right. By the way, about intermittent fasting, if you have blood sugar level issues, that's probably not a good idea for you to get into that without like some serious support. Let's just please be careful. There's a lot going on there. So food marble presentation, Clarissa can, and I think has posted it in the chat. It was very interesting. It was also slightly confusing, honestly, the presentation we did. Very interesting and in-depth, but I think a lot of people left with more questions. So on the 18th of August, I am taking control of that presentation and interviewing a couple of people, including the chief scientific officer of Food Marble, and going to show host it. Just that's going to be, it's going to be like who, what, where, when, why, and how, damn it. That's what you want me to do. Trust me. And then you can make your own decisions. Fascinating. The session we had, Josh Goldenberg is clearly a genius, but for the baseline beginners, like what is Food Marble? What can it do? I want to start there and then I'm going to send you back to that recording. Although I've also had people say that was the best recording I've ever had. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. So everybody's at different places. Okay. Let's quickly get to what tributarin X is, because somebody has been asking about that on there. So what is tributarin X?
So your microbiome, the bugs inside of you, give off metabolites. They take the food, the fermentable parts of your food, and they produce, they take it in and they go through a metabolic process and they give off things. Some of the things that they give off are called short chain fatty acids. You will keep hearing about these things for the next 20 years. They're very, very important. And we are just beginning to understand their importance all over the body, from the lungs to the brain, to the heart, everywhere, your bones. The most studied and the most recognized as like the most important at this moment is butyrate. It's one of these short chain fatty acids. This is the one that's linked to the heart, to the bones, to the brain, all these different areas. If you don't have enough of it, it appears that one of the things that happens is the amount of oxygen in your large intestine goes up. And you might think, okay, well, that seems pretty simple. But there's a lot of reasons why life does not exist on other planets. And one of the reasons why is the atmosphere, the contents of the air. And so in the case of the microbiome and in the intestines, you need a low oxygen environment. Otherwise, certain types of life do not exist well. The types of life, the probiotics, the beneficial bugs that you see these presentations about, almost all of them, if not exclusively all of them, I'm sure there's some that are not like this because that's how science works and that's how the body works, but the majority of them need a low oxygen environment. They're called anaerobic bacteria. Anaerobic means without oxygen. So when that oxygen content goes up, you're sort of in this death spiral of the microbiome where you need the fiber for the bugs to eat it and then make the short chain fatty acids to make the oxygen low. The colonocytes take up most of the butyrate and they take up the oxygen. But now you've lost the bugs. So now the fiber typically gets malabsorbed. It can cause bloating, cause all kinds of other issues. And so you're kind of in this thing where you need the bugs, but the bugs can't live. And then you stop eating as much fermentable food because it hurts, but then the bugs can't live. And now we're in this situation where there's not that many ways out of it. And so one of the ways that I've found very effective for getting out of that situation is to just do an end around with a chemical called tributarin. And we put it in an enteric capsule. We're the only one in the market to do that, which basically means it's like the most advanced form of getting it through the stomach acid and getting it to open deep in the small intestine. Okay. Yeah, super small gel caps. They don't have any smell. Super important. And so what this seems to do, and again, this is developing research, these are not claims, is that it basically seems to help reorient the gut to a lower oxygen state. It starts to rebuild the mucus pathways, the tight junctions, it helps lower inflammation. You also get some of that extra butyrate into your system, like it goes systemic. And what appears is that people are able to start to add the foods back in. And the foods, like your prebiotics, your designer prebiotics by like Microbiome Labs, some of these designer prebiotics, think of that and like vegetables as like a bait pile for deer. You're sort of baiting the bacteria to come back alive with those types of products. But if you can't tolerate the vegetables, and if you can't tolerate the starch, and if you can't tolerate designer prebiotics, what do you do? And so that's where tributarin X seems to become this really amazing product for a lot of people is they can take Tribunal Next, then they can start to layer in prebiotics and sometimes probiotic support, and then bring the fermentable starches and vegetables back in, and the whole ecosystem usually can restore itself.
Three or four comments and questions about enzymes, which, as promised, this presentation is a lot about. So, because that is a first line of defense, it is known as a first line therapy. If you're not doing them, it is worth investigating and finding out if they can make a difference for you. If you're doing a lot of other things and you're not doing them, then that might be just like this incredible miracle for you, seriously, because that could be the missing link, and it's a very easy fix. So the other thing I wanted to show you that I sometimes carry with me is just this little like emergency thing. I sometimes just like, if I'm going out to dinner and I don't want to bring my big tote bag onto the top of the table, so fashionable, I'll take one of these little things and just, you know, either have my husband carry it or just put it out, and I want to take it off the table. So like, I'll take my enzymes and then get it out of there. So that's another one. But talk about the different types of enzymes, Steve, if you would.
So
like what kind of enzyme for what kind of food, and what makes Holozyme different, and why did you invent it or create it or whatever you want to call it? Formulate it.
Essentially in your body, you have three main types of digestive enzymes. Now, of course you have four, but we don't want to get too deep here, but the four are, now that I've mentioned it, I did it already, damn it. You have some in your stomach. You have some in the top of your small intestine. You have some at the brush board of the small intestine, and then you have some at the lower end of the small intestine and the microbiome, so the upper end of the large intestine. So there's essentially four different digestive enzymes that losing any one of these four is going to cause problems in the long run and in the short run for any food you choose, essentially. And that's the troubling thing with enzymes and why they are considered a first line response or test for anybody with any, like, you're like, I have this specific pain that's, you know, purple colored pain that I see. I'm like, cool, try digestive enzymes. They still might help. Like any sort of weird pain, I know it sounds ridiculous, but having those enzymes there will cause that to be worse. It might not be the total fix, but it's going to cause other issues. And so the majority of problems are at the pancreas and at the brush border. And so a lot of people, we've talked about this before, due to age, due to stress, due to micronutrient deficiencies, it could be low stomach acid. There's a lot of reasons why amylase, which is for carbohydrate digestion, protease, which is for protein digestion, and lipase, which is for fat digestion. Those are your three pancreatic enzymes. There's a lot of reasons why they might not work right at the top of the small intestine. And then after you take these complex molecule or complex foods and turn them into more molecules, you need the brush border to go ahead and cleave them down into smaller molecules. And these are normally carbohydrate molecules or carbohydrate enzymes like maltase, lactase, things like this, invertase. The last step is these sort of weird microbiome specialty enzymes. These are things like alpha-galactidase, which is really important for legume breakdown. It's really important for FODMAP and especially cruciferous vegetable breakdown. You have things like xylanase, which are very helpful for people with salicylate intolerance. It works on the polyphenols in a really cool way. So these sort of specialty enzymes can really help people who are really sensitive like myself and maybe a lot of people on this call. Not having these extra designer enzymes at the bottom can be the difference between your enzyme product working and your enzyme product not working.
So how did Holozymes come to be? Because there are a lot of other digestive enzymes out there, which I'm sure you'd been taking for years.
Yeah. Look, I took all the brands. I took Digest Goal, I took Thorn, I took Biooptimizer, I took all the brands. And I would layer them together, and sometimes they would work and sometimes they wouldn't work. And when I was in clinic and I saw people, it was so frustrating. It was so frustrating to understand the physiology and the biology and be like, why does this product not work for certain people? And it was like a lot of people, like 40% of people wouldn't work for. And basically life happened for me. There was several cancer diagnoses. Our business fell apart. Anyways, my life got most stressful it ever gotten. And all of my GI issues came back about 3.5 years ago. And you know, I fell back on my functional medicine training, which is pull out the basics. And because if the basics aren't working, all the other cool stuff, all the designer prebiotics and designer probiotics aren't going to usually do that much. So I pulled out my enzymes and I started playing with them again. And it was the same thing I experienced like 6 years earlier. Nothing had changed in the marketplace. Nobody had innovated and nobody had solved this issue. And so I'm bloated every day. I'm in pain. I'm pissed off. and it just kind of drove me to the place where I was like, this has to be figure outable. You know, that's one of our values at Healthy Gut, is everything is figure outable. And so it just kind of went on a worldwide tour of talking to enzyme experts, just digging into every book, every paper ever written on enzymes, trying to find out why is this so. And what we found was that the enzymes are not being activated due to not enough minerals being combined in the capsule. And that's the AES patent that is behind Holozymes. We partnered with a PhD who did the work on this, but the work, he only did this because it's in basic biology scientific textbooks. You can go look it up on Wikipedia about the difference between an APO enzyme and a whole enzyme, WHOLE. And so it was basic biology, but nobody had really just innovated on it. This guy did. And then I finally ran into him after going down a bunch of dead ends. And so the AES patent is what sets Holozyme apart. I mean, we cover all the other, you know, we have a blend of enzymes in each one. So we cover the full pH range, which is also not every product does it. There's like two or three others on the market that do the full pH range. So we do full pH range, we do activation, and then we do the three levels. And that's what makes Holozyme different. And it came from the fact that I was just really in pain myself. Again, kind of a theme.
Sorry about that, but thank you. What does it look like when digestive enzymes work?
It's like a light switch. When you find the right dosage for you, if you find the right brand, normally I think it's Healthy Gut, but it might not be Healthy Gut. It's like a light switch. Like whatever you're dealing with, if it's bloating or gas or something like that, it's like 60, 70% better in like 2 days. That's why I don't believe in this whole, like, well, it takes 3 months to heal your detoxic. No, it doesn't. I don't believe that. The body will remodel the microbiome in 5 days. If you change your diet, you can start going outside. You can start with pets and it will reorient if you get the right amount of enzymes. And so that's why I said to the person earlier who was like, hey, I got some improvement, but not what I wanted. I think I'm taking too much. And then he went down. That's why I said, you also have to go up. Because we have a lot of folks who need 4 or 6 Holozymes per meal, but they've been conditioned that that's too many pills, or, you know, all these modifiers about why that won't work. And then they get there and they're like, wow, I would have never thought. I'm a littler woman. I had this talk with a prominent psychologist last week. She's a Holozyme convert and she takes 6 per meal, but at the beginning she wasn't doing that. And she was reaching out to our support and I didn't even know her at that point. But you have to play with the dosage, because what you're eating is different than every one of us. Your genetics, your microbiome, they're all different than the rest of us. And so that combination needs a certain type of HCL input and a certain type of enzyme input.
Okay, so we are getting short on time, but try the Holozymes. You have the $15 off. It expires the night of the 11th Eastern time. And it's just, you know, you're also going to have then entree into Steve's Facebook community. You don't have to be on Facebook to benefit from this, obviously. It's just, they have an email address for support as well. And also on his website, he has a lot of additional information. Also, when I send out the replay, you're going to get the page with all of Steve's previous sessions. And if you're here live and you're like, oh, I wanted them to talk more about enzymes, we have others that start with enzymes. We just kind of like went the long way around today. But let's talk about the HCL before we wrap, Steve, because that's like the sort of the other piece of the puzzle we've been talking about that's been missing.
Yeah. So HCL supplementation is not new. It's been around for many decades. Healthy Gut has only innovated on the other options on the marketplace. If you do not have enough stomach acid, I don't care what diet you eat, you're going to have subpar health. There are studies now that show if you do not have enough resting stomach acid, you're dumping extra LPS, which are some of the worst endotoxins you could come across. Like, you can be all worried about GMOs, but if you're dumping endotoxins in your body every day, those endotoxins are way worse, in my opinion, than some GMOs right now. And so people get fixated on these other things that are important, but there's some basics that will cause issues down the road, if not right now, every day. And one of those is having not enough stomach acid. And so there's studies on way too much LPS making it into your small intestine. There's studies on higher allergic potential from foods. Your studies on bone loss, or studies on energy loss. There's all kinds of crazy studies on what happens if you have low stomach acid over the lifetime of a body. And so the cool thing is you don't have to wait for a lab test. Check with your doctor if you're concerned. If you're on an ulcer medication and you have active gastritis or active ulcers, do not partake in this. It's not for you. It's a contraindication. Everybody else, you could try this in your own home and find out right away if this is an issue. I love these types of things because then you can just move on if you don't have this issue. And it's under $50 to test this, which is also a bargain in this world today. So whether it's HCL Guard or any other HCL you find out there, just make sure it has protease, which is the enzyme that can be missing in the stomach, and do an HCL challenge. We've done videos on those. Go watch those. HCL Guard is different than the other products on the marketplace because we included a prokinetic in ginger, which has been studied in humans to increase the prokinetic waves out of the bottom of the stomach. And it includes intrinsic factor. Which is basically the thing you need to absorb B12. Without intrinsic factor, you don't absorb B12. Low intrinsic factor is linked to anemia through, what's the name of that? There's an anemia that's related to low B12 status, and I can't think of
it. Pernicious anemia.
Yeah, pernicious anemia.
Pernicious, yep. Or whatever, however you say that. Do you have digestive enzymes for different diets, like vegans, vegetarians, no eggs, no dairy, no gluten, etc.? I guess what Trina is trying to say, sorry, the cat came to say hi, is, does this work for every diet? Like, am I going to be missing something do I need to add another one? That kind of thing.
So Holozymes is totally vegan. So it's totally vegetarian, vegan safe. I went with the approach, which is that there's no way to check your enzyme function at every one of those levels. And so as an engineer, we always over-engineered for safety considerations. And in this case, I wanted to make a product that I felt the majority of people would see benefit from. So it is over-engineered. Maybe you don't eat any dairy, it still has lactase in it. It would be cost prohibitive for any company to right now make like an enzyme specifically for your diet. I'm sure in the future there will be a company that does that, but right now there's no way that a small, family-owned company like us could do that. So if that's why Holozyme is built the way it is.
I want to just mention Diane, who is a longtime participant in the community. Hey, Diane. So you're on a very limited diet. You're backed on lactulose. It feeds SIBO, but you're having no sugar, no dairy, grains, no soy, no gluten, 3 years. I'm so sad because I know you were doing so well. And, Jason Harlech uses lactulose as a prebiotic and has had really interesting and good results with it. So, but I know you're using it as a laxative. I don't know. I know you're on a limited budget. And some other people were asking about the magnesium, Steve. So just tell us a little bit about your magnesium. Today was more of a, philosophical discussion about diet and stuff. And so we hope we've given you some ideas and some motivation and some hope, but talk to us about your magnesium. And somebody's asking about the dosage of it.
So magnesium HP is the cleanest and purest and strongest magnesium on the market. I made it for gut sensitive folks like myself. So like if you're gut focused and then you also want magnesium, I wanted the sort of safest, most beneficial product for us. That's what this is. There's zero fillers. There's zero flow agents. There's no preservatives in it. You can look at the back of our label versus almost every other magnesium glycinate, if not all of them, and see the difference just from the label. The other thing is that each capsule contains about 50% more active magnesium. And then we bonded it with glycine. Glycine is super important for gut health, for detoxification, things like that. And it can be helpful for like slowing your mind down if you have like racing thoughts, things like that. So dosage on magnesium HP is 2, but you can go 3 or 4 if you're trying to, work on the gut or work on constipation, things like that. You can go even higher. If you start getting higher than that, that's when I start to lean towards adding in designer prebiotics, adding in HCL guard, because it's, you don't want to just be reliant on one thing. And then I would say for the person who's been stuck on the really limited diet for a really long time, I would actually go down that, go buy that book, Safe Uses of Cortisol. Cortisol replacement therapy is very cheap. It's very powerful. For some folks, they're in a really bad place, in bridging out of these places with prescription drugs, there's nothing wrong with that. And it could be the fastest way. Again, I'm not about suffering. I want effective, safe options that get us, big results fast.
Are they gluten-free?
Yes, 100% gluten-free, non-GMO.
Yep. Hannah's saying, I would like to say that I'm finding that I get a good night's sleep when I take Tributarin X. I can't take anything consistently every day aside from enzymes. Oh, that's great news. Have you heard of that before, Steve?
Actually, yeah, about 20 to 30% of our folks take Tributarin X before bed because they have like a Oura Ring or like a sleep tracker, like Whoop or something, and they can monitor their stage 3 and stage 4 sleep, and they see a boost in those numbers. There's a study in rats showing a big boost in deep slow wave sleep from Tributarin, which is pretty cool.
That is very, very cool. Can you open the magnesium tablets?
Yeah, the flavor might be a little off-putting. It's not terrible, but you can open them safely.
It's not like Calm, which like is basically tastes like lemonade. That's like not what this is. This is, and the capsules are quite small. The title of the cortisol book once again?
Safe Uses of Cortisol.
Safe Uses of Cortisol. Okay. All right, folks, I'm going to wrap it up. Steve, I know you have another appointment. I do too. Thank you so much, Steve, as always. It's really good to see you. Listen, Steve has agreed to work with us every month, and I really appreciate that. It's something I really look forward to every month. So he'll be back next month, and we are going to talk about magnesium again because we just got started. When you get that link and you look, and maybe Clarissa, are you able to find that link for the page for all of Steve's previous talks? The last one we did was on magnesium. So listen to that one if you're curious about it and why magnesium is different. And you can also see the ones on Holozyme. And there's one on Tributarin X. So if you have questions, mainly try it for yourself and see if it's an option for you. So we hope we gave you a lot of hope today and some significant tools. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Siobhan. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Talk to you later. All right. There's the library link. Thanks. And then there are those links to get you there. The coupon does expire on the 11th of August at midnight Eastern time. So do try to get a hold of that. And if you are on Facebook, do get into that community because he has a lot of excellent support there. This is what Steve's been doing for so long, is helping people with gut health issues and including group coaching and that kind of thing. And so he has very high standards, just like I do. And that's one of the reasons why we're friends in this work. And they're going to take really good care of you. All right. Pop some love in the chat for Steve. And yep. Thanks, Cheryl, for being here, and Sarah and Kathleen. I didn't want to give you the date of when we're doing the next one because everything's subject to change, but we will see you next month as well. And thanks for being here. Mwah. Thanks, Clarissa. Bye, everyone. Bye.
See ya.